And the reason why we can have a private meeting with Jesus is because he did what he said he would do. He would send the Holy Spirit. He is here with us. He is here this morning. He is right beside you, every one of them. And his Holy Spirit does the teaching and the discerning. Now, we can either shut out the Holy Spirit, or we can let the Holy Spirit minister to us. That peace that passes all understanding. So in the scripture that I just read, Jesus seeks a private teaching time with his disciples. And it's difficult for them to get time alone and go deep and real with Jesus. And the topics that Jesus needs them to understand in a very comprehensive way, because the crowds were constantly following him. Often they seem to engage in those teaching sessions on the way. The movement was called the Way long before it was called Christian. So they were on the way from one place to another. And the scripture is no exception. After recent travels, they passed through Galilee quietly, keeping out of sight, and arrived at Jesus' home, their home base in Capernaum. For part of that trip, Jesus taught them about what they could expect in the future. That he would be betrayed, he'd be killed, and raised up after 3 days. Now, they were upset and confused by what he was telling them and worried about him and his mission. The disciples afterwards began whispering among themselves, "Who's the greatest? And who would take over the mission if something did happen to Jesus?" Well, it caused quite a debate. And Jesus, who always knows what they're up to, the devil can play tricks on your mind, but God knows your mind. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. That's the same. He had that relationship with them. He knew what they were thinking. Jesus always knows. And he asked them point blank what they were arguing about. Well, they were embarrassed by that, and they didn't say nothing. Of course, he already knew it, and that's when he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of the rest." And then he took a little child, put the child in the midst of them, and he took the child into his arms and said, "Whoever welcomes a child like this one in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, not me, but the one who sent me." Now, I want us to think about something that I think is very important here. While Jesus and his disciples are traveling on the road, they not only consist of a large group, more than just 12. We only think about the 12 that Travis mentioned in his little testimony there. There were many thousands of men and women and children that was following along with these 12 disciples. Yeah, the 12 was his inner group. They were the core. But the disciples were not the only one that was being ministered to Jesus. And they weren't lone men going on a solitary mission. This was an entire group of people that followed Christ. They didn't consist of every person. And Jesus went from place to place because he was trying to avoid super large crowds and those who wanted his attention. But he still had a significant group who traveled and was taught and learned, and women and children, and they were all there. And the 12 was the leadership. Jesus would not be betrayed by some lone ranger. No, he would be betrayed by one from his trusted leadership group. You know that guy, old Judas. So at this point, he already knew. As for others, he needed them to only to listen to what he was saying, but to understand the true meaning of leadership. That would be his legacy. And Jesus, as he most often does, he hears them arguing and takes this opportunity to invest in a teachable moment. He stops, and he calls them to pause and sit down. He calls over a little child from the group to come and sit with him, and he tells them, not only that, if they want to be the greatest, then they must be the greatest servant. But he also shows them a child saying, "Whoever." What does whoever mean? whoever welcomes, whoever receives, whoever accepts the child in my name also welcomes my Father. And whoever welcoming, receiving, accepting me is accepting God. So in other words, whoever is able to respect and honor the status and the dignity of a child and honor, receive, and approve that child, not as an inferior appendage, but as a valued fellow disciple. Think about that. I never thought about it. There's many times that I sat with children, good children, but I never think they're one of the disciples. That person is respecting who I am, Jesus said, and who God is. In fact, Jesus is elevating the child above the men. The job and their leadership is to elevate the lowest to the top of the heap, to spend time empowering, disempowered, making visible the invisible, and giving voices to the voiceless, and lifting up in an honorable status those who have been ignored, deemed as non-essential. But for Jesus, all. You know how many all are? All people are essential. No matter how little, how young, go all the way to the people with gray hair like myself. There's a Greek word, and I won't embarrass myself or even butcher the Greek word, so I won't try to pronounce it, because I have a hard time pronouncing English words sometimes, but I know what this word means. It means graciously receive, to receive favorably, to give ear, to embrace, make one's own, approve, not to forget. So why is this about a child? Because Jesus turned culture, children had no status. Women didn't have any status, and neither did the children in the culture of the time when Jesus walked this earth. The Roman and Greek culture was extremely status conscious. Government, politics, leadership, temple governments, family system, the culture in general was all about status. Who got to be the head of the table? Who got to sit at the right hand of the host? Who was invited for special events, who was in line for the next council seat, family, for hierarchy, I have a hard time saying that word, you know, positions of power, which were held by men. That's why, even through Jesus, he was an extraordinary revolutionary. In his conclusion and inclusion of women and children, we don't see them mentioned quite as often as men wrote the gospel. Think about that. But we do see his disciples calling attention to an unusual statement like this. The kind of statements had significant shock value for Jesus' disciples in their day and reveals to us not only the presence of women and children in Jesus' presence and in discipleship group, but that he saw them as worthy and honorable and an important part of his life and his mission. So if you just imagine the pride of that child, that moment that Jesus not only taught his disciples a lesson about leadership, he changed that child's life. Still today, many of our churches, not Bethel, but many of the churches in our culture today look at children as those who aren't as mature as we are, who don't know yet how to behave. And we think they should, as those who haven't reached the status of real church membership, as those that aren't ready for the adult congregation. We always have the children in worship. We encourage the children in worship. And we also, after a time of children devotional, Travis and Tina and all the people that helped them at that time, we go and continue to disciple them. But they were worthy to be in the adult congregation. So Jesus tells us that we make those statements sometimes at peril. We must learn about Jesus and God from those whom we have deemed unworthy, unprepared, too young, too exuberant for our taste. Now this would not be the first or the last time that Jesus would defend the honor of children. For his disciples, this would be a confusing thing to say at least, but the future of the church would lie in these disciples' hands, and Jesus needed them to understand what leadership meant before they had taken the reins of the ministry of the church of Jesus Christ. So leadership in a world, in our culture, that many love, often subconsciously or consciously for suggestions of status, can either make or break an organization, family, community, country, especially a church. So to be a leader for many too can easily mean that we become the boss of the sauce. I like that. The boss of the sauce over everybody else. I got some preachers, friends and colleagues that I know that served the church that I served many years ago. They each only lasted there 1 year. And when they would tell me where they were going to serve, I said, don't try to micromanage that church. I was there for 5 years. Just let the Holy Spirit work and love the people. Well, they didn't do it. Unfortunately, it's one of our churches that disaffiliated. They are now without a pastor because he tried to micromanage it. Some of the old ways of doing things, he would call people out from the pulpit. You don't do that. Anyhow, to be a true leader is to seek to sacrifice yourself to the elevation of others. And this is who Jesus was, because this is who God is. Jesus would go on to sacrifice his own life for the sake of not only those who followed him, but also those who opposed him. And he spent his ministry lifting up those whom society and culture has deemed as expendable. For Jesus, as for God, no one is expendable. Everyone belongs at God's table. In fact, those whom we give the least attention to sometimes most likely have the most to teach us. Adults? Yeah, we spend a great deal of time growing, not getting older, but less spontaneous, less open to differences of others, and less easy to laugh and dance and to celebrate. Less easy to trust and to learn and to initiate and intimidate. We can learn from our children. Everything that we have lost, outgrown, or forgotten that made us most human, compassionate, faithful, and just. And for Jesus, humility is not just a word that we use. It's a word that we practice when we honor the smallest and the most powerless among us for their great trust, their compassion, their love, and their enthusiasm. Children are enthusiastic. It's contagious. So when we learn to sit at the feet of our children, we have now learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher.